Hello, and welcome to this lyric commentary. My name is Wynn Delacoma. I'm a freelance arts writer and former music critic for the Chicago Sun-Times. It's my great pleasure to speak with you about Giacomo Puccini's La Bohème. Lyrics commentaries are made possible through the generous support of the Patrick G. and Shirley Welsh Ryan Foundation in memory of their parents. I hope you brought an extra handkerchief with you, because you're going to need it. One Puccini biographer sums it up very well. No opera by Puccini, not even Madama Butterfly, pulls the heartstrings as mercilessly as La Bohème. La Bohème has been moving audiences to tears and cheers since its premiere in 1896 in Turin, Italy. It is a permanent fixture on the top 10 list of most performed operas. It is possible and likely that you have seen it more than once. Yet here we are again, ready for Mimi and Rodolfo to fall tragically in love and Musetta and Marcello to go one-on-one in their never-ending battle of the sexes. The reason for La Bohème's enduring appeal? Certainly Puccini's delectable score. La Bohème contains some of opera's most familiar melodies. There are the tender, floating lines of Mi chiamano Mimi, Mimi's aria describing her quiet life as a maker of artificial flowers. Also, the seductive curves and heroic sweep of Musetta's waltz. Throughout the opera, short, bouncy phrases reflect the high spirits and higher hopes of Rodolfo, Marcello, and their friends. They are four young artists, self-styled rebels, proudly poor, determined to devote themselves to art and ideas. We will explore Puccini's score in greater detail in a few moments. But there's another reason why we hold La Bohème so dear. It isn't simply a love story. Its larger subject is young people struggling to find their place in the world. It's a struggle probably as old as humanity itself. Think of the parable of the prodigal son. Or St. Augustine, a teenager heading off to the fleshpots of Carthage in 317 AD. Or in our own time, Carrie Bradshaw and her co-conspirators in Sex and the City. Actually, La Bohème and Sex and the City share an interesting link. Both were inspired by racy, semi-autobiographical essays about single life in the big city. Puccini's librettists, Luigi Illica and Giuseppe Giacosa, drew their characters from a book published in 1851, Henri Murger's Scènes de la vie de Bohème. A collection of loosely connected stories about young Parisians, the book was later turned into a play. Whatever the century, every human being must make the transition from childhood into the larger world. Listening to La Bohème, we may remember our own, probably bittersweet, journey at that age. No wonder the opera has inspired several movies, and of course, the hit musical Rent. The story is set in 1830. Paris has been one of the world's leading capitals for centuries. To be taken seriously, a young poet like Rodolfo must make his mark in Paris. But by 1830, the Industrial Revolution has taken hold. The bright city lights are casting a wider spell. The young starving artist is a familiar character, and Rodolfo and his pals are epitomes of the type. They eke out a living doing hack work, but they cling to their dreams of becoming serious artists and thinkers. Mimi, however, is an entirely new kind of woman. She is single and happily living on her own. She supports herself with a job that doesn't require backbreaking labor. She isn't a laundress or domestic servant, nor does she have to sell her body to survive. In 1830s Paris, a respectable girl like Mimi could find respectable, if low-paying, work in the fashion world. She could become a grisette, a nickname prompted by the gray dresses those young female workers typically wore. According to one fashion historian, The grisette makes her living as a seamstress, a flower maker, glove maker, or milliner. She is not a kept woman or a courtesan. She is a working woman. The grisette soon became a romantic stereotype for 19th century novelists, playwrights, poets, and visual artists. Virtually all of them male, of course. As with Puccini's Mimì, they viewed the grisette with a decidedly male gaze. To many of them, she was possibly a lady of easy virtue, but always with a heart of gold. La Bohème offers virtually no backstory for its characters. We don't know if they were born in Paris or arrived from the countryside. Did they grow up in poverty? Maybe Rodolfo and his friends are just restless middle-class youths. Young men joining a rebellion against traditional norms that was very much in the air in Europe in the 1830s. After all, Rodolfo does make a passing comment about having a rich uncle. But when Mimì becomes ill, he has no money to pay for her care and nowhere to turn for help. The poverty in La Bohème, it would seem, is cruelly real. La Bohème may skimp on backstories, but it gives us something else in abundance. The opera offers a compelling, intimate look at young people during a particularly fraught moment in their lives. They are facing life's harsh realities, perhaps for the first time. Love can be profoundly disappointing as well as exhilarating. Poverty can lose its glamour. The very good can die young. Puccini was in his late 30s when he wrote La Bohème. He had lived that poverty-stricken bohemian life himself as a young man in Milan in the 1880s. Puccini drew on those early days for La Bohème. He even reworked musical phrases from a student piece for the opera's rambunctious opening scene. Puccini tinkered with La Bohème until 1920, long after its 1896 premiere. Opera was in creative ferment during those years. Richard Wagner, who died in 1883, had thoroughly disrupted the art form. His operas had a huge impact on audiences and composers. His harmonies were restless, his melodic lines seemingly endless. He rarely used familiar forms like clearly defined arias, duets, or quartets. At the same time, storylines for opera were changing. The exalted emotions and lush, grand sweep of 19th century romanticism were giving way to 20th century naturalism. Verismo, realism, became an accepted operatic style in Italy. Composers wanted to focus on ordinary people coping with the glories and disasters of everyday life. With La Bohème, Puccini mixes all these influences. The story brings us real-life grit. And, as with Wagner, the characters have musical themes that recur throughout the opera, though they are never as numerous or intricately woven as Wagner's leitmotifs. But Puccini's music soars with enough breadth and passion to satisfy the most romantic soul. And throughout La Bohème, Puccini pulls off a daring balancing act. As the story unfolds, the music shifts between highly contrasting emotions. Repeatedly, we toggle between the up-tempo gaiety of the Bohemians and the tender song of seriously profound love. Somehow, Puccini pulls this off with never a jarring moment. Now let's listen to some excerpts from the opera. All of them are taken from a 1996 recording on the EMI label with Antonio Pappano conducting the Philharmonia Orchestra. The music you will hear is generously furnished by Warner Classics and is available for purchase on iTunes. The very first music of the opera features Rodolfo and Marcello trying to work in the shabby garret they share with friends on Paris's left bank. Their stove is stone cold, and they are freezing. They banter about their plight. Puccini gives us a vivid portrait of life in this Parisian attic. Bumptious woodwinds, from flute to bassoon, tumble by in short, catchy phrases. Then the whole orchestra joins in with a longer melodic line. The music is relaxed. We picture someone strolling down a lively urban street. These young men may be poor, but they're energetic, happy, and optimistic. We'll hear Roberto Alagna as Rodolfo and Thomas Hampson as Marcello.
Questo mar rosso mi ammalisce assidera. Come se addosso mi piovesse in stinne, per vendicarmi affogo un faraon.
Now we have one of the most glorious scenes in La Boheme, and indeed in all of opera. Mimi, a neighbor, has stumbled into the garret where Rodolfo is working alone. Her candle has blown out. She has lost her key. Can Rodolfo help? Love is kindled along with Mimi's candle. Puccini crafts this Act One duet with inventive genius. It's in three parts. After a short preamble, Rodolfo tells his life story. Then Mimi tells hers. The act ends with their ecstatic proclamations of love. You'll probably recognize these melodies. Our singers are Alagna and Leontina Vadova. First, we'll hear Rodolfo inviting Mimi to warm her cold hand in his. Next, we'll hear Rodolfo describe himself. Qui sont? Qui sont? Who am I? A poet. His phrases are proud, even heroic. Strings sweep through as he sets out to describe himself as poor, but a millionaire in spirit.
Qui sont? Sono un poeta. Che cosa faccio? Scrivo, è come me.
Mimi tells her story in much different fashion. Her phrases rise and fall quietly. The orchestral accompaniment is delicate, flute, harp, strings. But toward the end, singing about the joys of springtime, she gets carried away. The entire orchestra joins her in one of Puccini's most passionate melodies.
Sempre a messa, ma prego assai del Signor, vivo sola, sole.
And finally, Mimi and Rodolfo join their voices to celebrate their newfound love. This is brilliant character painting, a skill Puccini uses with other characters. Musetta's Waltz is one of the opera's most famous arias. It perfectly captures two aspects of this bright young courtesan, her shrewd seductiveness and fierce independence. Let's listen to an excerpt sung by Ruth Ann Swenson. Musetta, on the arm of an older man, is trying to make her former lover, Marcello, jealous. This all plays out amid the hubbub of Christmas Eve at Café Momus. According to one Puccini biographer, the composer recycled Musetta's main theme from a piece he had written a few years before La Bohème. He composed it for the festive christening of a battleship. A fitting musical retrofit, I think, for the formidable Musetta gunning to reconquer an old flame. La Bohème has little choral writing, but the choral moments in Act II sparkle like a Christmas ornament. Paris's left bank is bustling with last-minute shoppers. Children clamor for toys from a vendor's cart. Their mothers scold them and hustle them off to bed. Puccini's genius for balancing contrasting elements is on lavish display in Act III. Mimi is in despair over Rodolfo's jealousy. She hears him tell Marcello that he is trying to drive Mimi away. He can't bear to watch her health worsen because he has no money for medicine. Finally knowing the truth about each other, Mimi and Rodolfo agree to stay together until spring. Meanwhile, Marcello and Musetta trade insults over her flirtatious ways. La Bohème offers stark contrasts on other levels as well. The first and fourth acts open with extended comic scenes before shifting into far more serious terrain. The gaiety of Act II's Café Momus couldn't be more different from the emotionally searing Act III. Lyric's new co-production deftly balances La Bohème's ever-changing moods. Director Richard Jones and designer Stuart Lang have set the action in a familiar-looking 19th-century Paris. Most of the surroundings are austere. The Bohemian's garret is as spare, gray, and rough-hewn as a Quaker barn. In Act III, the city's entry gate and tavern are forlorn outposts in the middle of nowhere. In Act II, however, the Left Bank Square and Café Momus pulsate with vitality and golden light. The café is an elegant, traditional room with peach-colored walls, creamy molding, and twinkling chandeliers. Well-dressed crowds wander in and out of stores under the arched glass ceilings of Paris's famous covered passage. I'd like to close by recalling a scene from the 1987 movie Moonstruck. Cher and Nicolas Cage star as Loretta and Ronnie, Italian-Americans from Brooklyn. For their big date, Ronnie takes Loretta to see La Bohème at the Met. It's her first opera, and she dabs her eyes as they leave the theater. "I knew she was sick," she says, voicing our own universal bafflement in the face of young, innocent death. We know Mimi is sick. We know her death is near. But we still keep coming to see her and her friends live once more in Puccini's irresistible opera. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy Lyric's La Bohème.